Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and it's a pleasure to welcome Carlos Jaramillo, Professor Carlos Jaramillo, who's publishing with his colleagues in Nature magazine a new revelation about the transformation of the tropical forest over the last 66 million years ago. That transformation explains why the richness of the tropical jungle today, the mixed richness, and where it came from. The clue is the dinosaurs. Professor, a very good day to you. You're in Salamanca, Spain, and we're speaking of the triple canopy jungle of Colombia and Amazon and the Panama area. Your home is in Panama. So this is both the 21st century and then 66 million years ago when the asteroid comet struck that part of the world. What did the forest, what did the tropical forest look like right before the asteroid strike changed everything? Good day to you.
Yeah, good morning. So let's go back to the morning of a day 66 million years ago. And imagine you are walking in the tropics of South America. Then you will see a very open forest. So you will see big trees, but the trees, the canopy of the trees will not be close to each other. So you will see a lot of light coming through the top of the forest. And then you will see that many of those big trees are not flowering plants, but gymnosperm, Araucaria especially. That is a big conifer tree that is common in the southern part of South America today. But back 66 million years ago was very common in the tropics. You also will see a lot of ferns in the understory and also many flowering plants, but not big trees. And also you will see a lot of big animals, dinosaurs, walking among the forest, trampling the trees, opening a lot of gaps, eating, a very different forest from the one we have today. You also will see that many of the leaves will have a lot of insect damage. There were many, many different varieties of insects feeding on the leaves of this tropical forest that was not as the forest we know it today.
The dinosaurs, they were vegetarians. They were eating the forest. Is that correct? Did that make a difference to shape the forest, how much the dinosaurs ate and how many there were?
Well, we think of the dinosaurs, they occupied the whole trophic chain, so there were many carnivores, but there were a lot of herbivores. And you actually see some similar impact in the forest of the elephants today in Africa. There have been many studies showing how when you put an elephant or you remove the elephant, the forest changes because those are big animals and they consume a lot of food. And also, as they move through the forest, they create openings. So they play a big role in back in the Cretaceous, at the time of the dinosaurs.
And what is the significance of the opening? What is that? Does that encourage some kind of different forest when there's lots of sunshine?
Yeah, so when there is a lot of light, the plants are always competing with each other. And in the forest of today, the rainforest, the main competition is for light. So the plants want to reach the canopy as fast as they can. But back in the Cretaceous, because there was so much light coming through the all layers of the forest, the competition for light was not that important. It was more important the competition for nutrients, because the nutrients were very low in the soil. There was a particular group of plants that today is very common in the tropics that are the legumes, the bean family. And the legumes had the ability to fix nitrogen because they have associations in the roots with fungi and bacteria that allow this nitrogen fertilization. It's like the legumes come with their own fertilizers. but they were not present in the Cretaceous, in the forests of the dinosaurs in the tropics. So this, we think that the soils were very poor in nutrients.
I see.
And under those conditions, the gymnosperms, the plants with seeds but without flowers, are really competitive with flowering plants. So today, if you go to the tropics, and there are a few places where there are conifers dominating the forest. And those are the places where the nutrients in the soils are so low that they can outcompete the angiosperms. You see, the angiosperms grow very fast. They have this ability to grow much faster than the gymnosperms.
The flowering plants, the angiosperms.
The flowering plants. They, once, if you give food to a plant, and it's a flowering plant, it will grow right away. But if you give food to a gymnosperm, they will grow very slow because they are not very good at taking up the nutrients. But they are very good at living without nothing. And the angiosperms are not good at that. So back in the Cretaceous, in the time of the dinosaurs, because the soil they were so low in nutrients, the gymnosperm could outcompete the flowering plants.
So if we were to send a drone over of Colombia and Panama 66 million years ago, we would see pine trees, conifers, and we would see ferns, but we would not see a great number of flowering plants, and we would see dinosaurs staring up at us. Is that the picture we'd get?
Yes. Yeah. You will see many flowering plants near small creeks or rivers because those environments are changing all the time, but in the bulk of the forest, you will see these conifer trees everywhere, and ferns also very abundant.
All right, now we have the event. Bang. It carves a hole in the shallow sea that is now the Gulf of Mexico and sends detritus into the air around the earth, starting fires that we believe raged for some time, blanketing the sky and plunging the atmosphere into darkness or semi-darkness, damaging all of this vegetation. So we have the fire, and then we have the darkness afterwards, the nuclear winter times a billion. And there is now an opportunity to look at what happened to the dinosaurs, and that's us. We're the mammals who emerged from that strike. But what the professor and his colleagues have done is looked at what happened to that forest right as the dinosaurs were munching. Professor, as I understand it, the important period is the next 6 million years from 66 to 60 and the next 10 million years from 66 to 56. What do your discoveries find happened in that transforming forest?
Okay, so there are two components that we have to pay attention to. So the first is how the structure of the forest. Not the components of the forest, but the structure. And we see that right after the impact, in the first forest that emerged, we'll see already that the forest is completely different because the canopy is now closed. And the canopy is dominated by flowering plants. And these flowering plants, they have big leaves. And now the competition in the forest is for light. If you out of the canopy, you are out of luck because the plant cannot do photosynthesis. Because most of the forest in a closed canopy, most of the light in a closed canopy is captured in the first few meters of the forest. If you go underneath in a modern tropical rainforest, you will see that it's very dark because most of the light is up in the forest. So right away, the first forest that emerged looked very much as the forest we have today. A closed canopy forest dominated by flowering plants.
And the conifers, where are the conifers in this new forest after the impact?
So most of the canopy trees, conifer canopy trees are gone. They went extinct. We don't see them anymore. And of course the dinosaurs are also gone. And once you establish this structure, the remaining conifers and the ferns are out of luck because they cannot do photosynthesis as well as they did before because the light in the understory is gone. Now the game is in the hands of the flowering plants, and they have kept the game for the past 66 million years.
The flowering plants, however, have a personality, as I learned from your article in Nature magazine. It matters where. You did your studies on what I did not know, but I've learned from your publication, is a great number of samples from around the impact area in the south of what is now the south of Mexico, in the Gulf of Mexico, the Yucatan. And you took samples from the forest in Colombia. And what did that forest look like from your samples compared to the forest farther south in Patagonia and farther north in North America?
So this story I just told you of how the forest looked like before the impact and after the impact came from thousands, about 500,000 pollen grains that we studied from about 59 different sites in Colombia, and also from more than 5,000 leaves and seeds from a few sites, about 10, 11 sites also in Colombia of macro fossils of plants. And so with this set of fossils, with the pollen and the leaves, we are able to reconstruct how the forest looked like, the structure, what was the composition of the forest, and how was its diversity.
The diversity also includes the insects. I don't want to leave them out. Do you see the same insect population after the strike in the new flowering plant forest that you saw before the strike in the conifer-dominated poor soils forest?
Yeah, so the diversity is another different component of the forest that is not that related to the forest structure I told you about. So before the impact, the forest of the Cretaceous was diverse in plants and also in the insects that were feeding on the plants, because you can track the diversity of the insect by looking at the damage they do on the leaves. So in the Cretaceous forest, there were a lot of different varieties of insects feeding on the leaves. Now, the first forest in following the impact, they were very, very low in diversity, low diversity of the plants themselves, and also low diversity of the insects. It's only until about 6 to 7 million years have passed that the diversity came back to the levels it had before the impact. So recovering diversity took 7 million years, and producing this new forest structure was basically right away. We also see that the diversity on the insects came back a few million years after that.
Yes, I want to travel with you, Professor, when we come back, because I want to go to the forests of Patagonia, the forests of New Zealand, the forests of North America, to compare and contrast, and also consider the randomness of this event. Professor Carlos Jaramillo, he is at the University of Salamanca in Spain. He has traveled into Colombia to observe the forest right before, the jungle forest right before and right after the impact. But all is not the same North and South America, as we know today, North and South temperate zones. What explains that diversity? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.